Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 384, Mindset Reset. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 1st, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Life has lots of challenges, and everybody has to face their own kind of thing. So you've probably heard the term, the grind. It's sort of like a negative term, and sometimes people use it to refer to their life in general. You know that it's a grind. Sometimes people use it in terms of having to return to the grind, speaking of their workplace, because they work in a place that's maybe they're not their first choice, their best place, the best choice of their lives. And life has kind of tough situations like that. Sometimes it's in families, sometimes it's in homes, sometimes it's in neighborhoods or cities, towns, because all kinds of stuff is going on. But nothing will really change in your life until you change your mindset. Because even if you're in a place that's less than desirable, you can rejoice in the Lord if you have the right mindset. And we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. But I want to start out with the story of Gideon. Gideon was an Old Testament character in the book of Judges, 6th chapter. I'm going to read a little portion of it. It's a longer story, really an amazing story if you read all the chapters associated with this man, Gideon. But I want to read the first part of it because I think you will get the drift of what we're talking about today concerning mindset. Chapter 6 of Judges, the 11th verse, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt?" But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" Verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" So I want to just stop there for just a second and think about this. So Midian has oppressed the people of Israel. Gideon is in his wine press trying to hide from them, threshing out a few grains so that he can feed his family. And the Lord is calling him a mighty man of valor in the face of all of that. A mighty person. And he's saying some really amazing things that he should go in that might and save all of Israel. So if you can appreciate the moment for Gideon, you can understand it's pretty overwhelming because of his situation, his circumstance, and already his questioning if God is even with them, since all this stuff has happened to him. Verse 15 says, "He said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" So you can see Gideon's measure of himself, his view of himself is not stellar, and certainly doesn't measure up to the mighty man of valor statement that the angel brought. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' And then he said to him, 'Now if I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come unto you and bring my offering and set it before you.'" And he said, "I will wait until you come back." And so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and an unleavened bread and an ephah of flour. And he put the meat in the basket and put the broth in the pot. And he brought it out to them under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth. And so he did. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat, the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, and do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. Or sometimes, you know, we are familiar with the term Jehovah Shalom. This is the first time that it's ever mentioned in the Bible. And he called it the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Bezerites. So I'm going to stop there with the reading of that part of the story. But if you're familiar with the story of Gideon, he goes through a series of a process of convincing himself that the Lord is with him. That's the main statement. The main statement is that I'll be with you. You can defeat your enemies. So if you look at your own situation, your own circumstances, your own giants that you're facing in your life, so to speak, it's the same. You know, we have to somehow change our mindset if we're going to get past all of that stuff and come to a place of victory. And if we don't change our mindset, there's not much God can do with us because he still has to deal with all of those things. So if you read in this story the things that Gideon did, you know, he's probably most famous for the fleece. You remember the fleeces that he put out, the fleece, put it on the ground, and it's dry and it should get wet, and then that wasn't good enough. Then he put it on the ground and said, it's wet. It should be dry the next morning. So God just walked with him through all of those things. And even up to the last minute before he actually went out to the battle with the Midianites, he still was doubting God. And God said, if you're still having some problems with this, go down to the camp with your servant. And there he found, they overheard a conversation between two Midianite soldiers about a vision that one of them had and how, you know, God would use the sword of the Lord and Gideon to defeat the Midianites. And through that vision, he's just overhearing that stuff. So all the way through the part where they've thinned down from 32,000 to 300 men to do this battle, he's like having to deal with his mindset. He's just having to struggle with, is the Lord really with me? Are you sure about this, God? So if you've had some issues in your life or some things that you're facing in your life, you can probably empathize with Gideon about dealing with big challenges and knowing that God is still with you. Some of the worship songs we had this morning dealt with some of those issues, you know, about knowing that God still reigns and that he's still God. You know, you have difficult times, you have difficult situations, and, you know, most of the time as ministers, we don't talk about those because we only want to talk about the victories. We want to encourage people to victory. But everybody has their giants to face. And every great man of God has gone through struggles, situations, circumstances, and had to fight battles. I remember coming back from Sweden with my pastor one time. We'd just been there, just had great meetings and great offerings for Feed the Hungry, which I was the head of at that time. And God had blessed us tremendously. And when we landed in Chicago, his sons met us with the plane. And when we got on the private plane to come back to South Bend, they said, Dad, we have some bad news for you. And he said, well, what's that? He said, well, the Channel 46 station has just burned to the ground completely. And it's not so good because it's a $18 million fire and we're only insured for 12. And the whole station is gone. It's the flagship station of the whole LaCie Broadcasting network. And so we were faced with just tremendous, tremendous challenge. How do we get that station running? So, but when we got to South Bend, they said to him, do you want us to drive you over there to the station? And he said, no, I'm not going over there. I'm going to get ready for my next trip. I'm flying to Florida tonight to preach. And he didn't even go look at the fire. He said, God will help us through this thing. We'll have victory. So to make a longer story short, the station was rebuilt. It was rebuilt better than it was in the first place. All of the stations in the city lent equipment to the broadcasting station. We were back on the air within 24 hours, and we're broadcasting from South Bend just like we normally did, just not having the facility. So it was an amazing time. All of those people from the TV station moved into our offices in the headquarters dome building, which was pretty crazy because we didn't have room for all those people. And but God took us through that, and I saw that day, I saw the greatness of God, and I saw a man of faith stand up to the attempts of the devil to steal, kill, and destroy, and to crush the ministry that God had given him. And all the money came in to pay for the reconstruction of the station, everything. I mean, it wasn't easy. It was challenging times, but it was an amazing, amazing time. So when you've seen a few things like that, and we had challenge after challenge after challenge with feeding hungry people worldwide, you develop a confidence in God, but you realize all along that your mindset has to change. You can't be thinking about lack. You can't be thinking about impossibilities. You can't be thinking and dwelling on your weaknesses, your inabilities, your stuff that's against you, and focused on what people say and what people are against you and all of those kind of things. You have to come out of that mindset and come into a new mindset. You know, I'm serving the living God. And he's the God of Israel who never slumbers nor sleeps. And he's going to take care of me. He's going to walk through this with me. And if he's with me, who can be against me? You have to have a new mindset to face the things, to face those challenges in life. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning in this message, because amazing things will happen when you change your mindset. The story of Gideon is proof of that. I was reading in Merriam-Webster's dictionary on mindset. Sometimes it's helpful just to go back to the dictionary and see what the definitions are to be sure you're like on target with your message. It says the number one definition of mindset is a mental attitude or inclination. And a second one is it's a fixed state of mind. So if you're talking about changing your mindset, you're talking about your mental attitude or your mental inclinations. You're talking about the state of where your mind is fixed. You know, sometimes our minds are set in concrete and nobody can change our minds. So if you've ever tried to witness to somebody who's resisting the gospel, the reason is their mindset is against Christianity, it's against the gospel, and it's against the things of God. And if you can't get a breakthrough in that area of their mindset, you won't get to their heart because they've already closed the door. So that's where prayer comes in. That's where faith in God comes in. Nobody is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You can reach into anybody's heart if God opens the door, right? Amen? But you have to have faith, and you have to change your way of thinking about it. If you come up with a person like that and you're up against it and there's no breakthrough, it's easy just to say, I'm quitting. I'm stopping. But we don't have to stop if we can change our mindset and get a miracle mindset instead of a failure mindset. Praise the Lord. But that applies to a lot of things in our lives, so we'll talk about some of those things a little bit in this message, hopefully. Have a few minutes left. I'm trying to do this in 35 minutes, so because we have communion, we have lots of stuff going on this morning. But I think this is important because everybody faces challenges, everybody faces situations and circumstances, so I hope you'll listen fast. Praise the Lord. So here's what the Word of God has to say about mindset. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." So life and peace, the kind of peace that Paul would have been talking about as a Jewish person, he would have been talking about shalom peace, which is nothing missing, nothing broken, kind of peace. The peace that only comes from God. That we just read about in the story of Gideon, Jehovah Shalom. The mindset of the Spirit, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So that's a huge key for and a huge starting place for dealing with your mindset. So if your mindset is sickness instead of healing, the place to start is to set your mind on the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is about life and peace. If your mindset is on poverty and lack and the things you don't have, then the starting place is to set your mind on the Spirit, because He's also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord. He's also Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Amen? So if you go through the names of God, you can see who He is and what the Spirit would be doing with your mind when He's changing your mindset. So the question is, though, is how do you get there? How do you get there to that place where you've set your mind on the Spirit or on the things of the Spirit? How do you actually do that? Because the culture and the worldview of my mind has to change if I'm going to see victory, if I'm going to progress in this situation, if I'm going to attack the things that need to be attacked and change the things that need to be changed. So if you're like me, you have certain mindsets and mentalities that may limit your success. I think everybody has to deal with that to a certain degree. You know, sometimes we see people who are successful and we think that guy just didn't have any problems. But it probably couldn't be further from the truth. That guy has had plenty of problems and maybe has experienced plenty of failures along the way, but just didn't let his failures take him out. You know, I've known of people like our former president, you know, he went bankrupt at one point, but now he's a billionaire. There are other examples of people who have faced tremendous challenges, but they came out of them. Now, some people may like him and some people may not like him, but whether you like him or don't like him, he's made a number of really amazing achievements in life from where he came. Praise the Lord. So anyway, I'm not here to make a political speech or anything like that today. But you should get ready to vote in November, because our nation needs you to vote, praise the Lord. And you need to vote according to the mind of the Spirit, not according to the mind of the flesh. Amen? Praise the Lord. Suffice it to say for now. We should probably talk about that more as we go along, as we get closer to the election, because it's coming on us really fast, praise the Lord, and we really, really need breakthrough in our nation. I don't think there's ever been a more dangerous time than we're facing right now. So anyway, like Gideon, we have to address the mindset issues by giving the Holy Spirit access to us. If He doesn't have access to your heart and access to your mind, you're not going to have a mindset change that's positive and powerful and brings positive changes in your life. So I wanted to look today at probably the four most significant mindset shifts everybody has to make to release God's power in our lives. I was inspired by some writings of one of my mentors, Pastor Larry Stockstill, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Bethany Church there, in this message, because he's really a master communicator and has spoken to us about these things a number of times. Really, really amazing man of God. So anyway, the first one is breaking the mindset of scarcity. Am I going to have enough to make it? So we're in a bad economy. I mean, I don't think anybody can question that. The prices of everything has gone up. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. All of the indicators are is that it's getting worse before it getting better. And it's a tough economy. It's really a tough economy. We've been through economies like this before, if you've lived longer than 10 days. And God has been with us. He's taken us through some tough times. He's taken us through shortages and other kinds of things before, where there was threats of crashes and so forth and so on. God has been good to our nation. We are blessed to be in this nation in spite of any of its flaws and failures, and whatever people say about this nation is still the best place on the planet to live. Praise the Lord. You're blessed and highly favored to live in a nation like we live in. And if you wonder why people want to come here, that's why they want to come here. Hopefully we can keep the nation from making it a place that's good for people to come to. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the mindset of scarcity is a tough one. The world is constantly feeding your mind about scarcity. Statistics blare out continually about the Earth's resources drying up. One really good example is you probably heard about the one-child policy of China. This is what Wikipedia just said about that. It says the one-child policy was a population planning initiative in China implemented between 1979 and 2015 to curb the country's population growth by restricting many families to a single child. Of course, they did that primarily through abortion and child selection, gender selection. The program had wide-ranging social, cultural, economic, and demographic effects. And then it goes on and talks about some of that stuff, which maybe you can believe or can't believe since it's Wikipedia. But anyway, the one-child policy has left China in a situation now where they've had to reverse that policy because now their population is decimated and it's becoming an aging nation. Same thing has happened in Japan. So the whole deal behind that is really overpopulation and lack of resources. Did God create this world to have sufficient for populations beyond where we are today? What is it, the 7 billion or going on 8 billion mark of people? Can this earth sustain that? Well, the reality is the earth can sustain it. A lot of times the resources are grouped in areas where you either can't get to them, or they're grouped in some nations and seemingly absent from other nations. But overpopulation doesn't have to be a problem because God created this world to sustain itself. And he's the one who said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. My kids get this. I have 18 grandkids, so they understand that. You know, be fruitful and multiply stuff. But it's the earth is set to replenish itself and to provide for the need of every generation until Jesus comes back. And of course, after the judgment of God comes on the earth, this is all going up in flames anyway. But until then, the Bible says as long as the earth remains, the promise he made to Noah was there would be the seasons and there would be provision until the end. So you can either believe God and bank on it, or you can have the mindset is we're in trouble and it's getting worse. But if you have that mindset of scarcity, the only thing that you can do to break that is to change that mindset. Jesus filled his disciples' boats with so many fish that they had to call their fellow fishermen, and both boats were about to sink. That was after the worst fishing night that they ever had, when they caught nothing. in a second, with the word of Jesus, two boatloads were sinking. And if you can get a hold of that and apply those kinds of examples to your mindset, you can change your mindset. Because God is a God of abundance. God is the God who meets all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is the El Shaddai God, the God that's more than enough. God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. It's one of his names. Provision, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the earth and the fullness thereof. He's not broke. And he's not going to go broke soon. We bring our tithes and offerings to him, not because he needs money, but because we need to put our trust in him for money and other things and for provision. That's why we sow seed, because Jesus said, if you sow, you're going to reap. He said that if you sow much, you're going to reap much. If you sow little, you're going to reap a little. So he taught sowing and reaping. And the whole New Testament is kind of focused around the words of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That it's better to give than to receive, because giving is your seed for your next harvest. Praise the Lord. So you have to change your mindset to those kind of things if you want to break the mindset of scarcity. He sent Peter out to catch one fish that had a gold coin in its mouth. And with that gold coin, he paid all of his taxes and Jesus' taxes too. So wouldn't that be great, you know, with tax season coming up in April, to be able to go fishing and come up with more than enough for you and bless another family. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is the God who can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But you have to have that kind of a mindset in order to break through the mindset of scarcity. A second one that's a big one is the mindset of bondage. Will I be able to be free from this problem? You know, God created us to be free. He didn't create us to be in bondage. He gave us a free will to start with, to prove that freedom is to be ingrained inside of us. He created us with a free will so we can make choices, we make decisions. He doesn't stop us from making decisions. He doesn't stop us from making choices, but he advises us to make good ones. You know, in the Old Testament, it says that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's a good decision. Amen? Praise the Lord. Other people may make other choices and other decisions, but we're going to go this way. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, but we have to break the mindset of bondage in order to get through those kinds of things, where there's addictions, where there's troubles, where there's stuff in our lives that needs to change. We need to have breakthroughs, and the first breakthrough has to be our breakthrough that's in our mindset. Yes. Since God created us to be free, he sent Jesus Christ to set us free. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, in teaching his disciples, he said that if we would abide in him and his word would abide in us, then we would know, then we would become his disciples indeed, and we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free. So a lot of times we just kind of summarize that is that the truth will set you free, but it isn't really a true statement when it's a standalone, because there's truth all around us. And a lot of people aren't free. The truth you know will set you free. But that won't even come to you unless you're his disciple indeed. It's all a progression. He said his word has to abide in you. And then you'll become a disciple indeed. And you have to abide in the word. And then you will be a disciple. And when you're a disciple, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth that you know will set you free. But it's a progression, and you have to be engaged, because that's the process of changing your mindset of bondage to a mindset of freedom. Meditating on that word would be enough to set a person free if you get a hold of it in your heart and it becomes revelation to you. Praise the Lord. So probably all of us have areas of that to work on even after we've become a believer. Because there are a lot of stuff that we, for a variety of reasons, hang on to things that we should have jettisoned a long time ago that we hang on to and carry into our life. Sometimes it's things from our family background. Sometimes it's things from trauma that's happened to us. Sometimes it's from things that have happened to other people around us that influence those kinds of things. But bondage can be broken by the blood of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus' name if you will begin to change your mindset from bondage mindset to freedom mindset. He delivered those on earth who were bound by demonic spirits and destructive habits. The whole of the New Testament Gospels have dozens of examples of Jesus setting people free from different kinds of bondage that Satan had set up in their lives. And some notable ones happened in church. I mean, you know, the lady who was bent over with a spirit of infirmity. The Bible says Jesus spoke to her on the Sabbath day and said, shouldn't this woman who the devil has bound all these years, I think 18 years, shouldn't she be set free on the Sabbath day? He was taken to task by those who didn't have the same mindset as he had. But nonetheless, he set that woman free from her bondage, her physical bondage that kept her from being able to stand upright. Praise the Lord. He healed the man with the withered hand, the paralyzed hand. He healed him on the Sabbath day in a synagogue. So Jesus, the healer, will help you to set your mind on the things of the Spirit that will bring freedom and take you away from bondage. But it's a process, and you have to engage in it in order for that to work for you. You can't just check out and say, well, I hope it happens to me. That's just like saying, I hope one day I'll be rich. But I'm not going to work. I'm not going to go where. I'm going to sit at home and wait for it to come. Maybe a little dog will bring it in a brown bag and drop it on my doorstep. You'll be waiting a long time. God does miracles, but most often he doesn't use little dogs to bring brown bags of money to you. But you would be amazed. There are some believers that I've been around earlier in my career that believe that. So anyway, it's a matter of a mindset. You have to shift your mindset to the mindset of the Spirit. So what would the Spirit tell you in these areas? He would tell you to go to the Word of God and find out how to be set free, right? Because the Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. You can find your freedom in the Word of God if you search for it with all of your heart, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. So you were made to be free, and whatever is binding you now, you need to speak to it. You need to say, I declare that I am free from the bondage, Jesus, of whatever, because Jesus paid for my freedom. That's a beginning of the change of your mindset. To speak to that thing, command it to cease and desist, command it to stop, command it to quit bugging you, quit dominating you, quit wrestling with you, and to get out of your life.
That's right.
Because you have authority in your body, in your mind, in your spirit that nobody else has. Other people around you can help you. We can minister to you. We can stand in agreement with you. The Bible says where two should agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them. There are gifts of the Spirit that help people to get set free. There's ministry of the Spirit that helps people to get free. But in the end, you have to change your mindset if you want to keep your freedom and if you want to stay free. Because that's the way it works. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're addressing. If you set your mind on the Spirit, you will have life and peace. That's the premise of these messages or these areas of breaking the mindset and changing it. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, this is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Notice that twice in that whole segment of things that Jesus said he was sent to do, it says to proclaim liberty or to set at liberty. That means to bring freedom. That's the anointing that came on Jesus And that's the anointing that he used when he went to the cross and he broke the power of the devil and destroyed his stronghold so that you could be free. But if you get that in your heart, that this is why Jesus has come in my life, to proclaim liberty to me, I won't stay a captive anymore. If you believe that he has come to set at liberty those that are oppressed, I won't stay oppressed anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings liberty to the captive. So change your mentality. Rise and shake off the shackles that have held you captive. Praise the Lord. Number three, the mindset of mistrust. This is a big one, especially in Christian circles. There are some people that don't trust anybody anymore because they've been hurt. They've had situations. They've had circumstances. People in the family, people outside of the family, in-laws and outlaws. They've been hurt and they don't trust anybody. They've had problems in marriages, broken marriages, et cetera, et cetera. And those things leave scars and marks that can lead to a mindset of mistrust. I'm not going to ever trust anybody again because then I'm not going to get hurt again. Unfortunately, making those vows usually attracts more of the same. But if you want to break that mindset, the question you have to ask is, will I ever be able to trust anybody again? First of all, change your attitude about trusting God. I think that's the first starting place. That's what it means to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, or set your mind on the Spirit, is that trusting God will help you break through the trust with other people, because he is trustworthy. And other people may have left you and forsaken you, but he's promised you that he will never leave you and never forsake you. So that you can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. That kind of a mindset overcomes mistrust. Praise the Lord. So people go through heartbreaking relationships. They've made a mental vow that they will never trust anyone. They refuse to put themselves in a vulnerable position again. But if you've been through divorce or refuse to have a mindset of mistrust about ever being married again. That's just an example. You have to refuse that kind of a mindset. You have the power in you to refuse to mistrust people. You have the power to break this thing. You can overcome it by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The Bible guarantees that. And that's changing your mindset by setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. Ask God to change your mentality. The Bible says if we ask, it'll be given to us. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. And then he says, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So if you need help in that area, he's available if you ask for him. The Holy Spirit of truth will come inside of you and will minister to that area where you have to change your mindset that causes you to mistrust people. That can be broken off you. You can walk out of this place today free from mistrust. I guarantee it absolutely. Because the Holy Spirit is here to set you free from mistrust. He's here to set you free from any kind of bondage. He's here to set you free from any kind of scarcity that's in your life. Praise the Lord. So then what can you do? Well, you can make friends with trustworthy people. And one of the problems that many times people have that don't trust somebody is that they've had some unfortunate, at least unfortunate, maybe you should say bad choices of friendships. And if you've been hurt enough times, then you start to build up walls. And walls are not conducive to trust. Praise the Lord. So make friends with trustworthy people. Don't suppose that everybody is going to betray your trust. I mean, that's the thing, because not everybody, you know, sometimes we say, you know, that person is thinking some evil about me. They might not even be thinking, they're probably not even thinking about you. But you're thinking that they're thinking about you. Amen? And sometimes we're our own worst enemies because of what we think other people are thinking. It's just like, it's crazy. It can drive you crazy. If you set your mind on those things. But if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, if you set your mind on the Spirit, you can have that mindset change. Praise the Lord. So don't suppose that everybody's going to betray your trust. Refuse the mentality of suspicion. Suspicion. Sometimes people say, I've got the gift of the Spirit, I've got discerning of spirits, but it's really the gift of suspicion. Turn that thing off. All right, so I have to wrap this up. But we're on number four. Don't get the gift of suspicion, get the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Set your mind on the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Number four is the mindset of dread. This is the final one. Is something bad going to happen to me? You know, some people are tormented with that. You know, that they're afraid to go out. They're afraid to go somewhere. They're afraid of this. They're afraid to get on the airplane. They're afraid to do whatever. I've even known of some ministers that are amazing ministers that will not get on an airplane and go somewhere to minister. But, you know, like if you're going to go to Europe, it's a long boat ride, but you can get there. Anyway, but that's, you know, that's between them and God. It's not my issue. I love to fly. And I love some of the long flights. You know, so I hear some of my minister friends complaining about flying from California to Australia. I love that flight. It's a really crazy good flight. Praise the Lord. It's a long one, 15 hours, 18 hours, something, but it's nice. Praise God. But maybe I'm just a little crazy, so that's all right. And I can sleep on planes. It's not a problem. If you stop moving, you can sleep. Praise the Lord. Unless you got some crazy passenger next to you that's creating some disturbance or something. But anyway, the mindset of dread: is something bad going to happen to me? Disease, shootings, wars, wrecks, storms, hundreds of other things could happen, but don't dread them. The news is constantly filled with those things, with the above things. The disciples were panicked about the storm on the sea, but Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid?" Why? Just remember, Jesus is in the boat with you. He promised it. So whatever ship you're on, whatever airplane you're on, whatever car you're in, Jesus is there with you. Yes. If he's inside of you, he's there with you. Amen? Amen? So set your mind on the Spirit, and you will have freedom from dread. Praise the Lord. Change your mentality and say, peace, shalom, be still now in Jesus' name. Amen. When dread attempts to arise, when fear starts to arise. There are fearful things that can happen, don't get me wrong. When you're in the middle of a crowd and they start to go ugly, that's a bad place to be. You should avoid those places because usually it's a setup of the devil. But anyway, change your mindset that you'll not be afraid and God will take you through the middle of stuff. Praise the Lord. I know some of you, when there were riots were downtown and they were throwing bricks, God just drove you through those things and you got out of there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'll bring this to a close. Refuse to dread because there's a high probability that it will never happen in the first place. Could happen? Probably not. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that if you have the mindset of the Spirit, you will have life and peace. Everybody say life and peace.
Life and peace.
Life and peace belong to you. It's your heritage as a believer in Jesus Christ. So when you set your mind on the Spirit, you can take your heritage, your inheritance, and live in it. This is for the now. This is, you know, yes, you'll have life and peace in heaven. You'll have a lot of it for a long time. It's called eternity. But on this short piece of your eternity, this end that we're on right now, you can experience the same life and peace that you'll experience in eternity with Jesus if you'll set your mind on the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So ask the Holy Spirit to give you that mindset of abundance, of freedom, of trust, and peace. Welcome to a new world, because it belongs to you. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.